Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Fucking minds.
Go on then.
Are you ready for this?
I'm never ready, but okay. Go for it.
All right, okay. D is in the word fridge, but not refrigerator. Why is everyone going so quiet? I'm just joking. You need to blow someone's eyes too much. Jesus Christ.
The last couple of weeks, you've been able to make my brain hurt.
Your brain has nothing left to give right now.
Jesus. What?
I don't create words. I just put things out.
Welcome to And That's Why We Messed Up, the podcast talking about nerdery, geekism and all else in between from a South London postcode. I am Shanna's, one of your amazing, awesome and dynamic hosts. Next to me is the instant brain melting classic.
I didn't write the word down.
I appreciate
I'm dyslexic.
I don't invent words. It's true. How you been? You all right?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm going with the flow as I usually do.
Cool. On the other side of me is Big Man Booger Red. You all right?
Good. Good afternoon, people. Hope everyone is well. Yeah, I'm not too bad. Sorry, not too bad. Thank you.
Oh dear. too many magnums and too much snowball at MD 2020 for the big man today. We think. Oh, so. Today, I believe, instant classic. Brother, it is your turn to delight and entertain us through the topic for our brains. What you got?
Oh, shit. I forgot. No, I'm joking. Everyone keeps going quiet on me.
This is literally like with bated breath. We're like...
Alright, I'm going to take you back. Well, back before I was born, because this is when this thing happened and this thing was released. A film about a gang of warriors. Yes, we are talking about 1979's film The Warriors.
Oh, one of my old times.
Beautiful, bruv. Nicely played.
For those who don't know, Warriors is a film that came out in the 1970s or the latter end of 1970s. It came out to a lot of critical critical displeasure, because obviously it was set around gang culture and sadly, when it did release, there were quite a few gang attacks and gang fights in cinemas and so on and so forth. But as time went on, it garnered some cult reputation. My first experience with it was catching, I would say, I wouldn't say half of it, but I would say I jumped in about a quarter of the way through. Because I think it was either on BBC Two or Channel 4. I think it was Channel 4, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And even though I was like kind of out of the loop what the story was, I was just drawn in because this film just had something that just had me captivated. And I didn't notice until I rewatched it recently. I didn't realize it was based on the book.
That's news to me too. I did not know that either.
Yeah, a book came out in 1965. Same name, Warriors. All the gangs involved had different names, but the premise was exactly the same.
Yeah.
The only difference was, even though the cast they had was pretty diverse, it was supposed to be even more diverse.
Really?
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, because originally in the book, it was the gang. What were their names? I can't even remember the gang's name. The original Warriors, because in the book they're called the Coney Island Dominators, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And they were a black Latino group.
Mm-hmm.
So the
Warriors.
Originally that's how it was going to go, but Paramount thought it wouldn't be marketable because, you know, So they need to add a few white people involved make it a bit more marketable. But again, it was still a very diverse cast. You had the gang members. You had Swan. You had Ajax, Cleon, the leader, Snow, Cochise, Rembrandt, Vernon, Cowboy, Fox, and the only female member who joined during the whole process, Mercy. And not many people knew this, but literally, because you only saw those gang members, you thought that was the gang, but they were 100 men strong. So so these were just the main group of the main group that just went to this meeting. So, but for all those who don't know what the Warriors were about, Warriors were it was set in New York. Every section of America or New York was represented by a gang. So the Warriors came from Coney Island. You had other gangs like the Riffs. I can do it.
I think I remember.
Do what?
I think I know the gangs' names. The 22 gangs.
Oh, okay. Do you know what? I've got the list. Go for it. Go for it. Go on.
Okay.
Okay.
The Gramercy Riffs.
One.
The Van Cortlandt Rangers.
Yes.
From Van Cortlandt Park.
Yeah.
The Moonrunners.
Yeah.
Turnbull Aces.
Yeah.
Orphans.
Yeah.
Boppers.
Yeah.
The Hurricanes.
Yeah.
The Baseball Furies.
Yeah.
The Rogues.
Yeah.
The Lizzies.
Yes.
The Punks.
Yep.
The Hi-Hats.
Do you know what? This is the song. Like, you, okay, you got it.
Wait. The Electric Eliminators.
Yeah.
The Savvy Chans.
Yeah.
The Joe Street Boys.
Yeah.
The Sappersons.
Yeah.
The Destroyers.
Yep.
The Satan's Mothers. The Warriors, the Panzers, the Gladiators, and the Boyle Avenue Runners.
Give that woman an ice cream. She got them all. She got them all. Bravo.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So the idea was that these gangs were called for a meeting by the Riffs. And the meeting was supposed to be about unification, about the gangs coming together to become one big gang and just take over the city. That was
You dig it?
There it is, Cyrus the Man himself. And all hell broke loose because Luther, the leader of the Rogues, decided to shoot and kill Cyrus.
Yeah.
And then from that point onwards, all hell broke loose because the Warriors were framed for the murder. And it was from that point they had to make it from Central Park.
Basically, we had to make it back to Coney Island.
Yeah, Coney Island. Yeah, back to the middle of New York. Yeah. It was the Bronx, actually. From the Bronx back to Coney Island. But obviously, they had a bounty on their head. So they had to dig through a bit of shit to make it out. So, but it was one hell of an adventure, one hell of a film. I highly recommend watching it. But anyway, I've rambled on enough about it. What were your guys' experiences with the film?
I hated Lufa, and for anything I saw him in after watching The Warriors, I hated him in just, and he's in 48 Hours as well.
Yeah.
And I hated him. But I remember, like, our dad watching it just one night. I'm not sure if it was on TV or he had a video of it. And I think the thing that stuck out was the Lizzies, because that was the only female gang. Yeah. And some of it felt like a bit like uncomfortable, because some of the costumes are a bit like, oh, don't like it. But my favorite costumes, even though they're just a pain in the ass, is the Baseball Furies.
Yeah, they were the face of the film, in a sense.
Well, the film, it's just Baseball Furies, because it's just you can't. It's just such a. I mean, the whole thing in itself. Because I do like Walter Hill's direction. Because Walter Hill's the director of this. I like the fact that you kind of take this. You're taking this journey in, and a lot of it is kind of in the beginnings. Is very just the music and the traveling towards this big meetup. So you don't even know. It's almost like, you know, I feel like you've been caught up in a rush hour, and somehow it's been so tight. You've just been caught along with these people. You're just watching everyone just go towards this location with no kind of speech about it, no kind of, and I kind of like the decision not to give a load of juxtaposition, like a load of kind of like backstory in the beginning.
Yeah.
As is a temptation for some, because, you know, usually if this was happening in the first 2 minutes, it'd be like, hey, man, you Jeff Turkey, we're going to that meeting because, you know, the game's going to come. None of that happens. It's just everyone just basically turns up from their corners, and they are met with this meeting, and even you're a bit kind of like, and I think I like the idea that for a lot of it you're not even too sure what's happening, you're just observing. I love when cinema and films do that thing where they're kind of like, I'm not going to treat you like a kid, I'm not going to talk down to you, I'm just going to bring you along on this ride and enjoy the ride that you're going on. I think it framed how I saw New York. Because, like, The Warriors is very, like, it's, like, that whole kind of moving through, it's the most visceral memory I have of how our tubes are not like New York subways. Because it's just like, oh, damn. And I think when I did eventually, like, visit New York in, oh, my God, I think it was in 1990-something, 1999, I think, that was my most kind of thing when I was taking the trains, and we're like, oh, this is what the A train is. Oh, this is what this is. Oh, right, okay. And I thought of Warriors the whole time. I just thought of that traveling around New York, because it's things like, so for example, like on our tube system, there's only one Victoria.
Yeah.
There's only one Brixton.
Yeah, for real.
There's only one, but in America, like in New York, they'll be like, you may have several 12 street stations, they're just in different, you just gotta know what district they're in. Otherwise, if you're like, oh, I want to go to 12th Street, they're like, well, you can end up lost. So I find that like a kind of, our system doesn't juxtapose in the same way to your system, but it's a direction. And I think I always felt hunted watching it. Do you get what I mean? I felt like that urgency the whole time with it, as well as having the time to realize that the Warriors weren't to be fucked with. As well, but also knowing it's like, yeah, but you're in a pecking order, you're known and you're 100 strong, but you're not top because there are others who are, they are brutal in their own way, that this and that. And I think, yeah, it's just very, it's so important. Like, I feel like a lot of people would have heard bits from Warriors and not know it's Warriors. Like the beginning bit, like, come out and play. Like, people won't know that, some people don't know that's from Warriors. And a lot of the kind of like, can you dig it, sample you hear in a lot of things, is from Warriors. But I love that film. That's my thing. I do love it.
How about you, big man?
You know, it's funny, because as soon as you started doing the intro to this, I knew you had to be Warriors. The thing is with Warriors, it's a film where I can't even go full circle, but I remember seeing it, and I don't know how I saw it, but it was one of those films I remember in my family, in the household, someone just miraculously had a video shop copy of this film. And it film got played to the point, I'm sure the tape weirded out, to be perfectly honest. But I remember seeing that at least when I was 7 or 8. And back then, the only thing that was going through my head was, why is everyone running? And that's what stood out into my head. It's pretty much just running for their lives scenario. I'm just not looking back and a bit of rumble here and there. But as you've coined this brilliantly, if someone mentions Warriors, the first thing that comes out of my mind, it comes to my head, is Baseball Bat Furies.
Yeah, the Baseball Furies. It's
something about the look that they have, even to a point. My Funko Pop collection, I hunted high and low for Baseball Bat Fury, and it was rare. It was going for ridiculous money. And someone I knew actually managed to source one for me, and I've got it. And that one is actually in a prized possession where no one sees it. You would not even have it unless I didn't even speak about it. And I look at Dana thinking, yeah, I'm proud of that. But that is one of my favourite films. And I think the reason why it stands out, because it's set a benchmark, because to be fair, at the time, I don't think anyone knew how successful this film was going to be. And what, 20, 30 odd years later, the film's had a PS. Was it on a PS2?
Yes, it was. It was.
Yeah,
it was. Wasn't it?
Because I remember that's when I really got back into it, because because they brought out the game and then they brought out a special edition DVD. And the game, if you haven't played the game, I highly recommend it. You can get on the PlayStation Network for like $11.99, because I just recently rebought it thanks to doing my research.
Of a game.
Because one thing it does that the film doesn't do is, obviously, like Shinto said, it doesn't really give you backstory in the film, but in the game you get backstory. You're basically, you play as most of the characters. You start off as Rembrandt, because he's the newest member of the gang, and how he got initiated, and how they were actually chosen to come to the meeting, because obviously you're basically seeing the rise of the Warriors in Coney Island, because the main beef between them was between them and the Destroyers, and I think another gang as well. The game's done by Rockstar as well, so you know it's going to be a good game. I highly recommend if you get a chance to play it. Yeah.
No, I had that game. In fact, I might all download it myself some point in the near future. Even to the point, I remember Eminem's group, D12, did a music video for, was it Fight Music?
Yeah.
And it's basically the Warriors that they've done, and that's how it starts. They're all meeting, and Ice Cube's doing the whole Can You Dig introduction, saying, right, there's an incident going down here tonight. Everyone's got to run for their lives. It is literally the Warriors music video that you're watching that they've done brilliantly. I love the film. In fact, saying that now, I've actually got and never actually opened it since I bought it. But yeah, that
unsurprised. Because I'm shocked. Unsurprised. Yeah, I'm shocked. I say shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was one of my rarest titles I bought years ago, and even now, since I'm smiling when you mention that film, I've got nothing but pure love for that. It just brings back to memories of how films originally were, where you're rooting for everyone, you don't want anyone to die, but then again, you want the other team to get their ass whooped. It's a brilliant film, and fun memories of the early late 80s for me, anyway.
It's a high stakes movie, is what it is.
Yeah,
it's definitely. So high stakes. Yeah. I just had a memory of the DJ, has this kind of you don't know how she's getting the information about what's going on and what's happened, and kind of doing the turning, giving heads up to all who need to know. So it's like, it just exacerbates that feeling that everything's against the Warriors, that there's nowhere to run, and plus the cops as well, because they're obviously gangs, so they're at risk of arresting the whole thing as well. So it's just,
I
love that.
I love how she actually starts playing the song "Nowhere to Run." Okay, she ain't ramping.
And the funny thing is, it kind of reminds me of "Do the Right Thing" when Samuel L. Jackson was your senior. Love that it. Throughout, it's just that I think one of the differences is that during "Do the Right Thing" and it's kicking off, Samuel Jackson does that thing. Was like, "Chill, all right, everyone, just chill, go and calm down." And I kind of like the arc at the end where the DJ even has to apologize. She was like, Yeah, I was wrong. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's like,
dude.
I can't see you tomorrow because you were just sorry about that. You literally were like, they're hiding out at this point in this one. So if you see them, cut their heads off and tell them I sent you. And it's like, I think I'll be paying you a visit tomorrow just to have a little chat. You know, you might want to do a bit of your research, love. I love it. It's a film where I feel it's not a relaxing movie.
Oh no. But you can chill out. But you can after a while. You can like
after a while, after you get into a beat of it.
Yeah. But yeah, I gotta say, we gotta put some respect on Walter Hill's name. Because I don't think he's appreciated enough. You don't really hear his name in the mainstream. But the man has done quite a bit. And he's done quite a bit for our childhoods when you think about it. Because, like, so for example, Walter Hill was one of the main main producers on the Alien film. So he basically has been from Alien all the way to where it is now. He's always been a producer on the films. So he's also had been a producer, directed, and written a few episodes of Tales from the Crypt, including producing one of our favorite ones, Demon Knight. He of course did directed and wrote a 48 Hours films, hence why our boy Luther was in it. He did one of my... I don't know how you guys feel about this film. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I know Big Man, you probably have seen it. But he did direct one of my favourite remakes. Now, you know me, I'm not really a big Western fan, but I do have my favourite Western, which is Clint Eastwood, A Fistful of Dollars. I just love that film and the story.
Yeah.
And he did a remake of it called Last Man Standing with Bruce Willis. Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Our boy Luthor. And another unsung hero, my favourite man who lasted 5 seconds in the film, Patrick Kilpatrick.
Yay! Actually, you've done a full film.
Yeah, he did one I can think of.
Okay.
Class of 99. He survived to the end. Well, he died in the end, but still.
Oh my God.
For all those who don't know who Patrick Kilpatrick is.
Oh my God.
I don't blame you because no one knows who Patrick Kilpatrick is.
Then you see his face and you go, yes. Oh, that guy.
Yes. If you know his face. And I got to say, if you don't know who he is by that, you haven't watched anything because he's literally in everything.
He is. He's in. Like, oh my God! So I'm. He's been in Lois and Clark.
He's been in Lois and Clark. He's been in Minority Report.
Babylon 5.
He's been in CSI. He's been X-Files. In every Jean-Claude Van Damme film. I'm just going to call it out. I'm probably exaggerating. He's probably been in two, but I feel like he's been in every Jean-Claude Van Damme film.
He's been in Star Trek, right?
He's literally been in everything.
Deep Space Nine. I'm looking up now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Minority Report,
yep.
Under Siege 2, Presidio, Free Willy.
Patrick. I might have to do an episode of Patrick Kilpatrick one day, but yeah.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
But,
Replacement Killers. Do you remember that film?
Yeah, I love that film. I like that film. Tower of Fats. One of the Tower of Fats, like, first major forays into America. Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh my god.
And yeah, with
has a face, like when you see him, you'll go, oh.
Yeah,
but he's
always a bad guy in every film he does.
Always.
Walter Hill. Walter Hill. And he does tend to use David Patrick Kelly, aka Luthor, a lot in his films.
I feel like
David Patrick Kelly would have been the perfect Joker once upon a time ago, because
early days.
Yeah, he would have been a perfect Joker, especially the way he played. Especially in Warrior, he was just the antithesis of.
You said it perfectly. It's
fine. Yeah, I'm not saying it again. Of chaos, because basically, when you're following him throughout the film, you always see him on the phone talking to someone, but let's be honest, I don't believe he's talking to anyone. I personally think he's just nuts, and he's just like trying to perceive that like he's talking to someone and trying to justify what he did, when realistically he did it just for the sake of doing it. So and like, if you ever watched Last Man Standing, when he slowly starts to lose his mind after losing his woman, it's just a joy to watch him perform. And if you want to see him in currently, John Wick, he's the cleaner in John Wick.
Ah,
he is.
So, and also, he traumatized me most greatly in one of my other little favorite films, Dreamscape, starring Dennis Quaid.
There you go. Look at that.
That is one of my favorite Dan Lowe films. And he, once again, was a bastard.
He's very good at playing bastards.
Very good at playing bastards.
The only time I've ever seen play relatively nice is John Wick. That's basically it. Just doing this
job. Wow. And that's taken till 2017. From a career that started in 1979, because I believe that Warriors was his debut, for him to play
let's talk about drama on the set.
Oh, was it drama on the set?
There was drama on the set between the director and one of the actors who was fired. One of the main actors as well. So obviously one of the Warriors, Fox. He was played by Thomas G. Waite. You might recognize him from The Thing. He played Windows, I think his name was.
He always wore
sunglasses in The Thing. Mm-hmm. Walter Hill had a lot of hope for this guy, because when he first met him, he saw the next James Dean, which is a big props. He took him out and made him watch Rebel Without Cause and a few other films, kind of giving it some inspiration, kind of like giving an idea of what he kind of expects from him, or what he should kind of like, you know, expect for himself, kind of thing. And it kind of went downhill, because Walter tried to buy him a drink and he refused, and it kind of went downhill from that point onwards. Because apparently on set he was very outspoken. So basically he kind of broke etiquette when it comes to the actor director relationship, because he was like really criticizing how violent the film was and how certain things he was like around the scene wasn't about the long hours, the this and that. And the actor himself, Thomas, has actually spoken out about this, saying that, do you know what? Yeah, I messed up. This is all it's on me, because I, instead of kind of like voicing my problems, I should have done it through my agent, which is kind of the thing you should have done. That was a thing to do, but obviously I was new, I was young, and I didn't really know better, but I kind of basically put my foot in it. So that's why in The Warriors, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, in 3, 2, 1, he gets killed off. He gets killed off. He gets because like if you ever remember the scene, you basically don't see his face.
He's uncredited because
they called him asking how do you want to be credited. He was like, don't credit me, I don't care anymore. And basically he's still technically uncredited to this day, but he has made amends with Walter since the whole situation. But yeah, it was a bit of drama there. Another few little bits that I found out. Walter originally wanted Sigourney Weaver to be in it.
Okay.
Because they worked together on Aliens. Mm-hmm. And that's how you found Michael Beck, the guy took over the leadership, Swan.
Right, okay.
He found him through a film he did with Sigourney Weaver. And he thought, I like this guy, I'm going to bring him on board. But it was
really interesting to see Sigourney Weaver in.
I'm kind of curious to see how she would have played.
Because she can play, she can read it well. So that's one of the good things about Sigourney. She knows when to really go in and when to really kind of dial it down. So it would have been interesting to see a young Sigourney Weaver in The Warriors.
Definitely. Another thing. Let's talk about our favorite subject, remakes.
Oh boy.
So, in the early 2000s, before he passed away, Tony Scott was in the process of doing a film or a remake of The Warriors. But the only difference is he was going to use the actual gang members, but he was going to use like real gangs.
Of course, he would.
But obviously that kind of fell through and never happened, and obviously he passed away, so obviously that just became a non-consequence. But there were talks in like around 2016 that they're going to do a Warrior series, but it was going to be helmed by the Russo brothers. See, there it is right there.
It could be interesting.
Exactly. But again, like, it kind of fell through for a bit, but last time anything was heard about it, it moved to Netflix. So, but the Russo brothers are still technically rumored to be involved, but it was in 2018, so nothing's come off of it since then.
A lot of change since then.
But I'm okay with seeing the Russo brothers do that. I'm actually really cool with that, especially if it's gonna be like a remake with the actual Warriors and no bullshit with real games. I don't want
See, when I hear that, I just think of stuff like what happened on the sets of the original Candyman, Cabrini Green, and like how he would like, oh, this is all fun until you realize it's not fun, until you're legitimately walking past gang members. And yeah, and it's all, I also kind of feel a bit like, what's the word? Like, it was the problem with the original Candyman, which is like, you're kind of doing it from this gaze where you're like, oh, look at the weird gang members doing this. And that is the feel that I didn't have watching the original. I felt like, as I said to you, I was along for the ride. And sometimes I wasn't getting information so far ahead as the viewer. It was very limited, so it was almost like I was almost, say, only a few seconds more than what the Warriors had, and it's like, oh, well, so you're kind of reacting in real time. And I think I've said this about like horror movies, or we discussed it either off mic, where we said like sometimes we get angry at people when we watch horror movies and we're like, don't go down there, but it's like, but that's because we have extra information that the killer's down there.
Yeah.
a normal person is not gonna have that information. So you kind of can't shout at them for acting normal. Like when someone says their kid's possessed by the devil, you're not gonna go, that makes complete sense, and then to start an exorcism. You're gonna be like, have we had a mental health assessment, like, for real? Have you really had a... You, of course, your doubt is the first thing you're going to do. But we're screaming because we've got extra information. And films like Warriors do that thing where they don't give too much information to the audience. You're meeting it in the same kind of way as the participants. And I would worry that it takes on that element of, look at the gangs, aren't they thinking, oh, aren't I lucky enough to be a part of that? Whereas we know gang culture, especially these days, is very complicated and complex. And it's been covered by things like Top Boy and City of God. And I also am enjoying that in that way. I'm enjoying kind of, because let's be honest, a lot of stuff about gangs has been taken up by America, you know, gangs in New York. Do you know what I mean? Colors. It's very American in it. And it also sometimes has a kind of, heavy-handed approach. In a way, I'd be interested to give it that series to breathe and to see that kind of, those kind of issues. But I also a bit like, just leave it for the perfection that it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. I mean, don't get me wrong. The idea of it being redone by the Russos, I mean, we've seen their previous work. It's not going to bomb. And with Netflix, you know what I mean? Hopefully they will stick to the original source. But why remake something that just doesn't need to be redone?
I think the funny thing is that, as Brav said, in the beginning it didn't do well. It's become, it's reached cult status. And it's funny when we look back on stuff and we go, actually, that was done really, really well. That was executed really, really well. And it's that what you're then trying to recapture is not that kind of rough beginning, but the success of it all, and the success has kind of been accidental. It's just that it's radiated with a lot of people like us who watched it, talked about it on playgrounds and what have you, rented videos and watched it and kept it going. And that's what's then kind, and then a lot of we've just picked up on things that have become ways that we communicate, and that's kind of raised it to become cult status. So it's almost like if you remake it, it's like it has to be beyond that, and it's like I just leave it.
Leave it for what it.
There's no harm in leaving it. There's no harm in just saying that was a perfect, especially because of the time it represented. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s. We're starting in the whole. Now, to give it context and put on my historical hat and my degree hat, it's coming to the end and starting the kind of looking at New York. Because New York was an absolute, like, it cannot be expressed how much of an absolute nightmare New York was. Like, it just can't. We can't actually, have it in our heads how bad New York was. To give it context, I have recently just watched a documentary, and the police issued pamphlets to tourists about coming into New York in the late 70s. And it basically had a Grim Reaper on the front of it.
Okay. See, I'm legitly picturing the opening scene to Friday the 13th for Jason Takes Manhattan, because in the opening scene of New York, they make New York look like fucking hell. Like, stabbings, drug use on the streets.
It's bad. It's literally like, you know, I am immersed in a lot of true crime and stuff, and I also, you know, I also have a degree in criminology, by the way, because it's called Welcome to Fear City is what the pamphlet says, and I will put a link in the description to it. Where
sounds
it's
so lovely.
Okay, like here's a bit of it, right? The incidence of crime and violence in New York City is shockingly high, and it's getting worse every day. During the four-month period ended 30th of April 1975, robberies were up 21%, aggravated assault was up 15%, larceny was 22%, burglary was up 19%. Nevertheless, I'm cutting out a lot of this. Nevertheless, some New Yorkers did manage to survive and even to keep their property intact. The following guidelines have been prepared by a council of firefighters and law officers to help you enjoy your visit of New York City in comfort and safety. There's then a picture of death and it says good luck.
Welcome to New York.
It literally says, welcome to Fear City, a survival guide for visitors of New York City. Stay off the streets after 6 p.m. Even in Midtown Manhattan, muggings and occasional murders are on the increase during the early evening hours. Do not be misled by the late sunsets during the summer season. If you walk in Midtown at about 7:30, you'll observe that the streets are nearly deserted. 2, do not walk. If you must leave your hotel after 6 p.m., try not to go out alone. Summon a radio taxi by telephone or ask the hotel doorman to call a taxi while you remain in the hotel lobby. They legitimately gave this to people. I'm going to leave it. There are 7 of them, and they all end with a good luck and the Grim Reaper.
Peckham? But yeah,
I got nothing. I legitimately got nothing. So I'm just going to.
But that's the thing, is the historical context of how New York was like from the late 70s onwards. You know, is the whole statistic about like 1974 is where a lot of serial killers started their first killings and blah blah blah, like the heavy hitters, the Bundys, etc. That's when 1974 was when they got their start, and they kept going throughout. They were active during this period. So you've got this kind of very weird, like, this historical context of a lot of things coming to an end, a lot of the demographic is changing, a lot of this kind of attitude of leaving the doors open attitude is changing, and we're coming to the 80s, into the greed is good, into what we're going to know as the yuppies, into all of that changing of the kind of the failure of the Flower Children, really. So you've got that in the background of it, of the Warriors. You know, the whole thing with the Warriors is that these are people who have felt isolated and abandoned and have found and created their own families. Whether you love it or hate it, that's what it is. That's what they've recreated. So it could be an interesting story. However, what I'm finding sometimes is I'm preferring these days to look at stories wider than the US, because I feel like we've covered it in so much media. Whereas like when I sat down and watched City of God, I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is some interesting stuff, because I have never seen something like that before. It's an interesting story, even though it's immersed in gang culture. And I worry about that in doing a remake. And because it is just a brilliant little film. Mm. A tight film as well. Mm. As Rob said, you feel the fear of it, but you also kind of relax a bit at some points.
Yeah, because Walter White, the way he directs his films, Walter Hill.
Like Breaking Bad. Yeah.
He directs his films like he's doing a comic book, the way he puts it, because basically he likes to do it in chapters. So each section of the film represents an issue of the comic that week. So yeah. it kind of falls into place quite easily for him. So, and even like with the special edition that DVD that came out, actually he actually did these really cool comic strip transitions with the Warriors. So it worked out really well. But yeah.
That is so. Are we for the remake, bro? For the remake or against the remake?
Because of the name behind it, I would have faith. I would have more for, like, when I heard Tony Scott was doing it, I wasn't really up for that, especially when you're using actual gangs, and you know that's just nah. I don't want too much reality in my films. I want to be kind of taken out of reality.
Yeah.
So if it does happen, I'm always up to support the Russos, and I'm also always up to like for new audience to learn about our stuff, because at the end of the day, love or hate remakes, it does give people a reason or a sense to just go back and see what the hell this was based on.
Very true.
As annoying as remakes can be, it does have its upside. So, you know, sometimes you can get a nice new retelling, and also you can get a reason to, like, you know what, I'm going to watch the original and see the comparisons and see which one's better, or, you know, to see what they're talking about, or read the book, you know? So, I guess I'll say I'm partly for, but we'll see.
Okay. Big man, for or against?
I'm against.
Mm-mm, okay.
I'm against only because you... my love for the original. And don't get me wrong, I fully agree with everything that Bruv said. A remake could work. I mean, it could give people today the chance to, you know, let's watch the original and see like compared to the remake. But for me, you can't touch the original. It's an absolute classic. And, you know, I mean, the fact is the Russo's behind it. The likelihood is it's going to work. But sometimes there's just some titles that just be left alone. Predator, I'm looking at you as a prime example. There's just some things you be just left alone.
And the influence is why? Because even now I'm thinking about a lot of... There are some shots of Attack the Block which are blatantly lifted from Warriors. But it's just this in the UK. But there's some, a lot of the colouring around it, a lot of that kind of, that same energy of rushing and stuff, and that kind of energy with Attack the Block, I do think is mirrored in... is directly, I think, you lifted from Warriors. But then, you know, Joe Cornish and, you know, Joe and Adam, that's one of the shows where it's very, very apparent that we kind of grew up watching the same things, consuming the same, you know, films, comics and what have you. And it's going to be apparent when you create something. But I do think, if you haven't seen The Warriors, I beg you, pick it up. It usually goes quite reasonably. I'll leave a link in the description. Pick up a copy. Buckle up, sit down for a night and watch that. You know what? I even put it out. Watch it in combination with 48 Hours. Eddie Murphy at his finest, must be said. 48 Hours. Bit of action, a bit of mindless, what have you. But the, once again, the direction from Walter Hill is very, very good.
And again, and if you get a chance, PlayStation Network, you can get the game for $11.99. The game is awesome. It fills in a lot of the blanks. Most of the original cast come back and come back to do the voice acting. And it's a great game. Absolute bang of a game. I'm going to play it again in a bit, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Thank you for this little trip down memory lane, bruv. I'm also going to leave a link in the description to the Fear City, Welcome to Fear City flyer, because I think y'all need to really, truly absorb what it is. And, you know, I'd happily on other occasion go into the history, the historical context of New York at the time, which was an absolute goddamn nightmare. But, bruv, thank you for taking on this little journey. I think it's a nice spot to...
Oh, another thing, another reason to watch Warriors, one of the best fight scenes in movie history. I will hands down say that the fight scene in the toilet between the punks and the Warriors, hands down.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah.
Best fight scene. That to me is up there with the fight in They Live, which of course is a personal goddamn favorite of mine. Okay, They Live. We should do that in future.
I've never seen it, to be honest.
What? You don't see They Live?
No.
Wow.
I've only ever seen clips of it. I've never actually seen the full film.
Wow. What to talk about? Anywho, I think we're going to draw it to a close there. If you would like to drop us a line, engage, recommend something we should cover in the future, you can email us at andjudesavengers@gmail.com. You can subscribe to our Instagram at messeduppod. You can find us on Twitter at andmessed. Big Man, what's your socials?
I can be found on Twitter at war3782. I can be found on the gram at Mr_Roberts_V1. How about you, bro?
You can find me on YouTube on the Instant Classic Gaming, and you can also find me on Twitch, TikTok, and Instagram under InstantClassic_Gaming.
Thank you once again for your time, your ears, and everything else. Take care, stay safe, and we will see ya later on.
Yeah, you nigga. Later. And that's Where We're Messed Up, produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping
and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.